we're talking about in Luke 10:21, we're talking about the reveal, the word apokalupto means to uncover that which has been hid. And so we are looked at it about how the all of the real big stuff of God is hid. So let's go to Romans 1:17 about how the truth is declared to men. We have to start. This is one of my favorite verses. Romans 1:13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Can we read that again? I would not have you ignorant, brethren. But oftentimes I purpose to come to you, unto you, but was let or prevented hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now the word that the just shall live by faith is a quote, and it from Habakkuk, and it really says the just shall live by his faith. Now the way translators have made it and the way it's taught is that you live by your faith, but it says the just shall live by his faith. As it is written, the just shall live by, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by his faith. Now it's revealed from faith to faith. So by definition, faith implies waiting. So if you don't wait on him about some issue, then the faith is not revealed in the next step. It's just the just shall live by, it's revealed from faith to faith. So you've got to start somewhere. You've got to start where you wait only on God. You take no effort to any way lean on your own arm of understanding for an issue to be resolved. Now, as I said before many times, everybody has to go through that on a life and death issue at some time. The just shall live, the faith of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now once you get it on a life and death kind of issue, then it becomes easy to do it from the small things, until the small things become so subtle that you don't understand, you miss. But it's revealed from faith to faith. Do you understand that? So no, there's no, everybody has a perfect understanding about faith to faith. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. All right, to me, I just have to make a comment. I've said it before. Bible study for me is boring unless Gary is here. So that means somebody's got to take the Gary seat. Jeff?
I'll give it my best shot.
All right. I got these stupid things all over the Bible and it messes everything up. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power or efficacy, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, there's a tense in Greek, and I forgot the name of it, but where it says, none of the princes of this world knew, it's a position that's always, is that the perfect tense? What am I trying to say? Where it's always active. None of the princes of this world.
The present perfect would be.
So that's what it is. It means at any time, in any state of any time of history, none of the princes of the world knew. Otherwise, they would not have. In other words. We are just as guilty of crucifying Christ as the first people that nailed the. Remember what? Every time you think you have something to do, you're nailing a nail in one of Christ's wrists. Every time you think you have something, you must go somewhere. You are nailing a nail in one of his feet. And the very thoughts about all that are the thorns that you're pressing into his skull. Now, that was one of the last things that Luther ever wrote. Now, that's a biggie. So, because it's in that present perfect tense. All right. That's not where we're going, but that's interesting. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. No, wait a minute, I got ahead of myself. But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And again, that's a quote from Isaiah, and it says in Isaiah, for them that wait on him. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, that which God hath prepared for them that love him, but love is manifested in waiting only on him. Now, I'll tell you what, just so you don't think that I'm making that up, let's go to Isaiah 64 real quick. Verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence.
as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath seen with the eye, O God, beside thee, what man, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him, or waiteth on him. So here we have the deal, in at least in first in Isaiah, then in Paul's translation of it, or understanding of it, that love and waiting on him are the same thing. If you say you love God but still lean on your own arm of understanding, then you're lying. Waiting on him. Waiting on him. All right, back to wherever we were. We were in First Corinthians, chapter 2. And then the next verse is what we're studying. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Again, revealed to make known that which had been hidden. Now we see directly that he only makes known that which hath been hidden when you wait on him. That, therefore, it's from faith to faith that you understand, that you see. Amen? This is big if you hear it. Otherwise, you're just going to continue living as a Gentile. All right. One more. Galatians 3. Verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Now that tense can be present tense. Before faith is revealed or comes, we are kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Now it's afterward be revealed when your repentance becomes total. Now, therefore, now it's talking about not just the law of here, the law of in the Torah, but the law of cause and effect, the law of physics, the law of gravity, all of these. We are kept or garrisoned by that law. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. All of these things, the cause and effect and everything else, was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith alone. Because we first had to find out if we could be justified by any of these things, anything that has to do with the law, or the law of finance, the law of anything, laws of politics, laws of gravity, laws of physics, laws of everything. We are kept under the law. And therefore, the law is our schoolmaster. Now, what does that mean? It means that we had to find out that our rightness came by none of the things that we had tried. Now that
law would include, well, all the little dealies you learned how, as a child, about how to be nice. All the little times of how you should eat, which fork you should use. They're legion. But we are kept under that, garrisoned, if you will. It's almost like we're saying we're kept in prison until we find out we can't be right by any of those things. That's all righteousness means, is to be right. But if you still live in your imagination and your righteousness comes from something of that, then you're just a fool. You're just playing a video game in your mind. But you have to find out that you cannot get righteousness or be right about anything in time and space, because it doesn't stand the test of truth. Does that communicate? That includes all opinions, all stands, all places where you've taken a stand, all judgments. You judge somebody because they haven't kept the law according to your understanding. You can't forgive somebody because they screwed up the law from your standpoint of what you thought was right and wrong. Everything is the law. You're kept under it, even the stupid laws that you and your parents have invented. You've got to see that by none of those can you be right. Now, if you still think and walk, and, well, I'm right about certain things, still kept under the law. Where's Gary when I need him? So everybody understands this perfectly. There's no questions. Nothing is going on in your mind. It's just, God, I hate this. The scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterward be revealed. It's that afterward is important. The afterward is when you find out that all of the ideas that made you and gave you identity are wrong. Still don't believe, you still have got identity from them, then this means nothing. I might as well be talking to the ceiling. Anything you think you're right about, Mr. Jeff?
Oh, sure.
Do you understand the little relationship? Yeah. The moment you think you're right about something, you can't, faith can't be revealed? Let's go back to Romans 1. Passed by this one when we read earlier, but starting in verse 16 again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by his faith. For the wrath of God is revealed. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So now we got the wrath of God revealed against all ungodliness. Remember the word ungodliness? It just means asebia. It means you. You're thinking wrong.
This is why what goes on internally is your religion. It doesn't matter what you do outwardly. It doesn't matter, as we've said, how many times you walk the aisle, how many times you ask Jesus into your life. What the only religion in you that God sees is the thought process. And so ungodliness is a thought process that is just the normal way of thinking. It includes all of the things we've talked about for thousands of times, and all the little voices that are telling you what to do. All instead of waiting on Him. So godliness and waiting on Him are synonymous. Waiting and love are synonymous. You say you love God and still continue in that crap in your mind, you're lying. You could go into any congregation and say, "Do you love God? Amen, praise God, hallelujah." And you start teaching what ungodliness is and how you don't love God because you don't wait on Him. And we'd have, but the point herein, it's not just if faith has to be revealed, but if it isn't revealed, then the wrath of God is revealed, which is also hidden. Now let's look at the big one and then 2 Thessalonians. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away, an apostasy first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of hell, or the son of perdition. So, nothing about the day of Christ and its incredible melting of all things and everything can't happen until the man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed. This is a guy that sitteth in the temple of God. He opposeth and exalteth himself against above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I've told you so often, the word for temple there is naos. It's just the holy place and the holy of holies. And that's what you are called several times. You are the temple of God. Now, who then is the man of sin? Who opposes, from God's standpoint, everything that's holy and godly? Who exalteth himself above all that is worshipped or called God? Who's the number one? And the point of all this is that man of sin, the son of perdition, has been revealed. And it's you and me. It's our minds. Mm-hmm. Until we know that, we're still going to use our minds. We're still going to rely on all the crap that we learned in the seven high places of your mind on which the whore is sitting. So, let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. I believe with everything in me that the man of sin has been revealed. Now the day of Christ is here.
Anybody have any questions, thoughts, responses? Anybody doubt that they're the man of sin, the son of perdition? Anybody doubt that your mind is, has a number on it, and is 666? And that's your forehead? Because it is the definition. 666 means it can never be at rest. It's, it can never reach 7. Have the number written on your right hand, because what you think is what you do. And that's the definition of ungodliness. It's simple. Repentance is automatic once you see that. And you can never again use your mind for anything. Take this lightly. Take a big guy.